like Pastor said, we have Portuguese mints that we're giving to everybody. You get to see pictures of Portugal. Portugal is the second most beautiful place in the world. The first is Terre Haute, Indiana. And number two is Portugal. So there's pictures of Portugal out there, and we're giving everybody a little taste of Portugal. You get to take a Portuguese mint. If you're a coin collector, come and speak to me, because I might, if you behave, I might even give you a Portuguese penny to take with you. Now, those are limited, one per person. They're worth about $1 million each, so we're having to limit those. 1 John, is everybody awake? Okay, let's do it. 1 John chapter 1. I love this this book of the Bible. We've been going through it there in Portugal with our group, with our church, and it's been a blessing. One thing that I like about 1 John is that the apostle is able to give us very deep spiritual truth in a very simple language. And because I'm not very smart, simple I can do with. So this is good. This is good for me, you see. Very deep spiritual truth. In this, let's start reading in verse 1, and let's move along. 1 John 1, verse 1. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us." When I was a young man, on the island there, we had one TV channel. That's all we had. And TV started at 6 o'clock in the afternoon, and ended at 10 o'clock at night. That was all the TV we got. And then they started adding hours to it, but I was very much into watching television. I preferred watching television than working in the farm with my dad. I was a lot better at watching television than working in the farm, you see. So I would watch anything that was on, anything, you know, like documentaries and whole afternoons of figure skating, whatever. Whatever was on, I would watch. Now, one area that I really liked and I was fascinated was the shows that would show the possibility of time travel. Oh, and I would think about that. I would wonder. And one of the things was, and when we read this this kind of words, John is almost bragging. And he's saying, "We have heard him. We have touched him. We have spent time with him." And if you think a little bit about time travel, you would go, "I wonder if it was possible, maybe I could go and back to the time of the Lord and be there and sit in a little corner and just experience what the apostles experienced." But I want to read verse 3 to you. He says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that," and this is incredible, "that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." What he is saying here is that if you are in Christ, you can have fellowship with the Lord. And you can have even the same fellowship that the apostles had. I'm sorry, I'm looking at your faces and you're not believing me, so I'm going to say it again. In Christ, we can have the same fellowship the apostles had. That's amazing. Now, one of the reasons we like 1 John, and we're going to read a few more verses, but one of the reasons we like 1 John is because it teaches, with no uncertain terms, it teaches the concept of assurance of salvation and eternal security. You know, when God saved me that day in 1992, He saved me forever. You're all nice people. You look like it, most of you. But nobody here tonight can convince me I'm not saved. Saved and forever saved. Now, another concept in this book, and he introduces it here, but he develops it through the book, is the concept of fellowship. And the idea is this, and this might be the main idea of this sermon tonight. The idea is this: you can't lose your salvation, but you can lose your fellowship with God. And we're going to see a few things about that in the next few verses. Verse 4, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Again, I say, we can't lose our salvation, but you know what? We can lose the joy of our salvation. Verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." And this is the first truth that I would like to share with you tonight. The first truth is, and again, bear in mind what I said in the beginning, simple. God is light and God has no fellowship with darkness. This is the idea. This is the truth. Now, he says here that he heard this of Christ. We heard this of Him. Just a side note, but none of the Gospels have Jesus saying this. But here we have that Jesus said this. So we have words of Jesus that are not recorded in the Gospels. That's fine. All of the Bible is inspired by God. So this has great weight and great authority. An apostle is saying this. The inspired word of God is saying this. And these were even words that Jesus Himself uttered. Great weight, great importance. You know, John himself says in his gospel that he did not record everything that Jesus said and everything that Jesus did. So if God selected the things that were given to us, some things God selected, some didn't, if these were put in, it's because it's important. God is light and God has no fellowship with darkness. The idea of God being light, and the idea of, we can even think here of the holiness of God, the purity of God. This idea is not to drive us to despair. That is not the sense here. To give you an example, some people are very particular about the cleanliness around them. I was going to say clean freaks, but I refrained myself. I did not say it, you see. And some people have to have that stuff on their hands all the time, and just, you know, because we don't want germs around us and we don't want people getting sick and all that. Now, the worst thing you could give to somebody like that would be a microscope. Because, bear with me, if we could do this experiment, after somebody has carefully washed their hands, if they could, so to speak, put that hand under a microscope, they would be amazed at the fauna and flora that they would be looking at. It's impossible to be 100% clean. Unless you're talking about the Lord. God is 100% holy. And this light shines. And when it shines, it reveals everything. Now, if this makes us uncomfortable, then you need to deal with that at the altar. But the idea here is not to lead people to despair. The idea here is to lead people to Christ and to lead people to rest fully in Christ. The truth is, God can have no fellowship with darkness. If we are in Christ tonight, good news. All our sins have been removed. We can rest in Christ. Isn't that good? Number two. I told you this was going to be easy. Verse 6. He says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The second point is this. Any believer that walks in darkness cannot be in fellowship with God. A believer that is allowing sin in his life and at the same time attempts to have fellowship with God is trying the impossible. We try to fool ourselves. I'm going to allow this in my life. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to take it to God, because if I do, God might take it away from me. But I'm still going to be in fellowship with God. That is not possible. Why do believers do this? Why do believers attempt this? One of the reasons that believers are afraid of the light when they shouldn't be. And because they are afraid of the light, they feel they need to keep that area to themselves and not put it in God's hands. And at the same time, try to live in fellowship with God. When I was a young man, 1 year I got for Christmas, it was a very high-tech piece of equipment. It was a gun that fired a cork. So you press the trigger and it went. Very high-tech. My friend and I, we adapted that gun, and instead of it firing the cork, we adapted it and it would fire little rocks. And my friend had a great idea. We're going to hide by the side of the road, and when cars go by, we're going to shoot these little rocks, and the goal is for the rock to go under the car as the car goes by. Brilliant. He went first. Car comes by and he shoots the rock and it goes clean in the end of the car. What a thrill. My turn. Wait for the car. The car comes. It's a black car. I can see it even now. It's a black car, and I shoot that rock and it goes on the side of the car. Put a dent on the door of the car. Boom! The car stops. The guy comes out of the car. And he looks at me, and I start running. Listen, I don't run. And so the guy gets to me, and he said, "Oh, I'm going to tell your dad." And he drives off. What? What is that supposed to mean? And I go home, and my dad is not home. And in my mind, they're going to see each other. My dad's going to come home. I'm going to be in deep trouble, so I hide. And I hear my dad coming home, but I do not come out of hiding. Eventually, I come out for food. But I couldn't look at my dad. And I was eating supper as fast as I could without... I didn't even want to say anything, because I didn't want, in case they had met and talked, I didn't want to say any words that would trigger the memory of what had happened. And I didn't know what those words would be, so I'm going to be silent. And so nothing happened. Oh, he's going to see him tomorrow, the next day. And I'm always looking at my dad for his facial expressions, you see. And so nothing happened. And then Sunday, oh, they're going to see each other in church. I'm done. Sunday lunch, nothing. And it went like that for months. I don't think that guy ever told my dad. But you know what happened during those months? My relationship with my dad was affected. We didn't talk like we used to talk. I didn't spend as much time with him as I used to. You know what would have taken care of it? If that first day, as my dad came in, if I would have said, "Dad, I want to tell you something that happened." That would have taken care of the whole thing. You think my dad would have killed me? Come on. We think when we're kids, we think that our parents will kill us. This is it. That would have taken care of everything and would have avoided months of a broken relationship. Now, I wonder if I came to the Lord's house tonight trying to run away from something I need to deal with God. Maybe I'm trying to worship God with my brethren as I'm trying to hide sin from others, from myself, or from the Lord. We need to acknowledge tonight that we can't hide from God. You know another thing that I thought about years later? Maybe my dad knew all along. And maybe my dad was just waiting for me to bring it up. See, when we get to verse 9, this is the verse we all know in 1 John. It says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You know, there's a big controversy out there. We're not going to get into it. It's whether this verse is for believers or for unbelievers. Some people say, no, this verse can't be for believers. Why not? Because the apostle says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now, bear in mind, we all know all our sins are forgiven in Christ. It's not that he who confesses the best gets to God the fastest. It's not up to us. It's not in our power. But it's that heart attitude that God is looking for. Maybe my dad knew all along, and he was wanting to see a change in my heart. When the prodigal son comes back, he comes back with an attitude of repentance and ready to confess. And yes, his dad didn't let him finish his prayer of confession. But God honored the attitude in his heart, you see. I want to share with you another verse, verse 7. He says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Our lack of fellowship with God affects our fellowship one with another. It's impossible to have true Christian fellowship with other believers if we're trying to hide from God. If you're out of fellowship with God, and that happens every time you have unconfessed sin in your life, if you're out of fellowship with God, you can't be in fellowship with other believers. The only thing we can do when that happens is to pretend. And there's a lot of pretending going on in churches. We know we're not in fellowship with the Lord, but somebody comes to us and say, "Brother, this and this is happening in my life. Will you pray for me?" And over again, believers lie. And they say, "Of course, I'll pray for you." When they haven't been in prayer for maybe days or weeks themselves. Maybe people even say sometimes, "I've been praying for you," when they haven't. Maybe. Or maybe after a sermon, somebody comes to you and says, "Man, that was a great message, wasn't it?" And because we've been out of fellowship with God, we lie. And we say, "Amen, that was fantastic." See, ministering in God's churches, ministering is not just from here to there. Ministry should be happening all around. We should be ministering one to another. And how in the world can I minister anything? A word of advice, a word of inspiration, a word of support. How can I minister to my brothers and sisters in Christ if I have been out of fellowship with God? We're just pretending. What a weird message for a missionary to bring. You know, missions, a church attempting missions. A missions program of a church is a church setting out to reach the whole world. That's what it is. We hear the command, "Go ye into all the earth," and we use missions to fulfill that command. This church in Terre Haute is to attempt to reach the whole world. And this can only be done by faith. Actually, the whole of Christian life is to be lived by faith. See, if we only do things to our power, we don't do them by faith. And the minute Christians stop living by faith, they stop living the Christian life. You can't live by faith if you're out of fellowship with God. And so the moment comes, maybe there's a plea for an offering, maybe there's a missionary coming through, maybe there's a mission field open up before our very eyes. And because we're out of fellowship with the Lord, we miss it completely. And we end up just giving our spare change. And maybe the Lord is even calling us to go. And because we're out of fellowship with God, we miss out on a whole life of ministry, fantastic ministry to the Lord. There was a time in my life that before I got saved that I believed I was going to be one day the next prime minister of Portugal. That was my whole goal in life. I was very much into politics. And I was going to be one day the prime minister of Portugal. Then God showed me he had something even better for me. And don't believe those missionaries that say that missions is all bad. The best thing we have in life is a life of full fellowship with the Lord. That it's what the book of Hebrews calls entering the full rest. Brother Mark, how do I know I am in fellowship with the Lord? One thing I usually tell people is this. If you can think of a time in your life that you were closer to God than you are right now. There was a time in your life that you were praying in a different way. You were reading your Bible with passion, and you're not now. You were singing to the Lord in church in a way, and now you're just going through the motions. If there was a time in your life that you were closer to God than you are now, God wants you back. God wants you back. If you humble yourselves, if we humble ourselves, He will always take us in. Pastor, thank you.
Bowed and eyes.